Things are happening. God is always on the move. You know, in the spirit realm, there is constant motion. Things are always moving. In fact, it is said that an angel can go around the earth 7 times in 1 second, something to that degree, some ridiculous amount of speed. You know?
Yeah.
You know, there's no space and time in the spirit realm. And in that, you know, one of the things that the Lord desires is our presence in his realm. And he set things in such an order because he is a God of order. And divine order is essential in the life of his children. See, the world is not in divine order. They're in chaos. Everything is about them. Me, myself, and I is their order. But in the kingdom of God, there's a divine order. And in this divine order, it is essential to understand the purpose of divine order. And in the military, there's a divine order. We might not call it in the physical military divine order, but in the spiritual military, there's a divine order. And on you have generals and so forth, just like in the regular military, but there's a divine order. There's a protocol that's established for divine order, so things are not brought into confusion. And when we fall out of the divine order, I can tell you that not only do things begin to happen around us, but when you're out of order, the closest people to you know before you know. And then when you finally find out, the world knows. And it is essential about divine order. And God has set this so perfectly for each and every one of us to fall into and to follow. The whole thing is to begin to recognize that there is a divine order and whether we're walking in it or not. Amen? You know, when the Lord set the Ten Commandments, and go to Deuteronomy 5. Even though these are divine rules, but the purpose of that was to keep individuals into a divine order so that they could be exposed. In a divine order, there is a divine covenant. When you fall out of divine order, I can tell you that you are falling out of covenant. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, and in verse 1, it says, Moses called all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb, and the Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on a mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you that at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up to the mountain. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. The word Egypt means world, place of bondage, out of the house of bondage. He said, the first thing he says, and this is order, you shall have no other gods before me. This is the divine order. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, I am the Lord your God and there is no other. You know, many people, and when you don't have the Lord first in your life, it's called, in this, people commit spiritual adultery. It's actually called idolatry. Because anything that is between you and God is called an idol. And he says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or shall, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, For I am the Lord your God, I am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. That's a curse, the iniquity. So he says, make no image. It's amazing how many people make images. I remember when I was in the religious group, you know, after I got in front of the statue and I would pray, oh, forgive me. You know, do a few repentance things and get up and leave, and I didn't change. But showing mercy to those, to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. He says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. These are divine order that God sets. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. Now the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath, so it's not a specific day for us anymore. In fact, we're really not under the commandments, but the commandments of the laws are within us now. So they have been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. In other words, we are actually to be more submissive and obedient than the commandments. He says, your righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribes. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. Verse 16. He said, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be what? Long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servants, and his animals and possessions, or anything that is in your neighbor's. These words the Lord spoke to all of your assembly, the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, the thick darkness, with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. Now on these two tablets of stone, the first covenant was broke, that a second covenant could be fulfilled. Amen? Because Jesus would now become the law. He was actually the law, the written word that came into the flesh, but he came to fulfill the law that we could have relationship. Amen? Because they didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit to obey the law, but you and I do. But it doesn't mean we're under the law, because as we're being led by the Spirit, we are fulfilling the law. So there is not a law there, but there is a divine order of law that's called a spiritual law now that you and I are to follow. So setting the divine order is important in our life as a believer, because God sets things in order, and it is always God first. So everybody got it? God's first. So if it's God first, that means it's his will first. It's his will. Now there are three wills of God: good, acceptable, and perfect. But in his divine order, it is God first. Amen? I tell people there's three wills of God. There's God, God, and God. That's it. If God says he's first, then he's first. If it's anything to do with God and you're supposed to be a part of it, then it's first. If he says go across the world, then it's first. Has everybody got it? But so many people will go, what about your family? No, God is first. If God is first in your life, he takes care of everything else. He takes care of your family. He takes care of everything. It's when people fall out of the place of God and begin to be so more concerned with their family than God. Now their family becomes an idol. And God is no longer first. And we must be very careful, because that is called idolatry. Remember, he is a jealous God. Go to Matthew 6. Divine order. Divine order. Yes, Matthew 6. You know that some people will not do things because they will not leave their family, and God's trying to get them to go do something? And it's not doesn't mean that they're leaving their family forever. But they're so bound to their spouses and their children and their jobs that they can't do anything else. And they, what happens, they get so in debt because the enemy, because they're trying to fulfill themselves with the things of the world and please them, their families and this and that, that they get so in debt that now they can't even serve God because they're still constantly trying to get out of debt. Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, do not what? Worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Do you know how many people are more concerned about these three things than what God's got to say? They will search these three things out before they even go to prayer. Hold on a second. I'll be there. I'm coming. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, so he's saying the unbelievers seek these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? Added to you. This is called divine order. That's called divine order. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything will be released. In other words, once you do the promise, it's released. That is divine order. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and things will be added unto you. This is called divine order. Now go to Matthew 7. In verse 7, here's another divine order. It says what? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. In other words, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. All right? But while you're seeking, you're to be asking, aren't you? So as you ask and seek, you'll find. The thing is people ask and run.
Oh, Lord, yeah, I need this. Okay, thanks.
They're gone. They're not seeking. Why? Because they're not really seen. So is prayer a part of divine order? And we talked about some of this, that praying the price. An individual who is not first in prayer in the morning is out of divine order. Let me tell you, you pray on the way to work without taking time to pray, you're out of divine order. Because what you're doing is fitting God into your schedule instead of you fitting into his. Hello. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that sometimes things happen. Right? And there's sometimes that people have a long 2-hour drive or something. Praise God. Man, by the time I used to drive from here to Lakin, by the time I got there, I was a mess because of the presence of God. You opened up my car, the glory poured out. But in this, he says, ask, seek, and knock. That's all associated with prayer. So we're to be watchful in prayer. This is called divine order. And Proverbs 3. You know, when you begin to search the Word of God out, you begin to find groups of divine order that he says to do. Certain things of divine order for specific things. Look at verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. And lean not on your own. In other words, if you can't trust with all of your heart, you're going to lean on your understanding. Has everybody got it? So to relinquish yourself from your own understanding, you must trust him with all of your heart. This is a divine order process. It says, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. So here it is. trust him removes you from your own understanding, right? Acknowledge him, he's going to direct your path. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why? So you, the fear of the Lord is reverence, amen, to the Lord, respect and honor. So as you depart from evil, something's going to happen. He says it's going to be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So we just talked about the area where trust, in other words, that inner fight that you and I have, there is a way out through divine order. Trust in the Lord with all of your might, right? Okay, then you don't have to lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him. He's going to guide your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. In other words, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's going to be health to your body. Now look at the next one. Honor the Lord with your what? Possessions. And with the what? First fruits of your what? Increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So many people don't give the Lord their first fruits. In other words, God does an increase. You know, I'll tell you a good idea. Give before the increase comes. If you're a constant giver above, way above, if you're a constant giver above, whether it's time, finances, whatever, if you're a constant giver above, when the increase comes, you're already given. You're already given. Matthew 16, verse 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What a divine order. Let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. In other words, take off the old man, put on the new man, and follow the truth. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Another divine order that he says, abide. He who abides in me and I abide in him. And my words abide in you. We'll ask and we'll receive. Three areas that we must abide in his presence, in his word and prayer. Has everybody got it? And in fellowship. Forsake not to assemble. It's a divine order. Now, I want you to understand something. I want you to just grab hold of this because divine order, we look at seeing things put in place. But I want you to look at another thing. It's God saying divine. It's an order from God. It's an order from the throne room of God. That's why it's called a divine order because he is ordering it. Has everybody got it? He is ordering it. God is saying, if I order it, you obey it, you'll be blessed. If I order it, you disobey it, you'll be cursed. Real simple. And people wonder why the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Because they're out of divine order. The devil cannot take anything from me and you if we're in divine order. We are in divine protection. He cannot take nothing from you if we're in divine order. Amen. Psalm 50. And verse 16. He says, but to the wicked. Now, is the wicked in divine order or out of divine order? Out of divine order. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes and take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. So is there a divine order in the area of people, places, and things? Amen. He says, come out from among them. Amen. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise gives glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. In other words, divine order will bring salvation. In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 6, you know, when you get in divine order, the first thing the enemy tries to do is get you out. Because divine order is divine positioning. Without divine order, there is no divine position. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear witness in heaven. This is a divine order. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. That's a divine order. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth. That is the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So this is the divine order of tabernacle. In other words, your salvation is a divine order. There's three chambers of the tabernacle, isn't there? There's the outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. And each chamber, there's a specific language, specific anointing, specific function. It's a divine order. And some people have never made it to the second chamber. They'll be believers for 30 years and never make it to the second chamber. You know why? Because they're content with the first one. They don't want to know anymore. I'm okay. I go to church every Sunday. Yes, I got initials on my pew. And I put the same amount of money in every week. That $1.25. Hallelujah. So there's the divine order of the tabernacle. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. In the spiritual realm, in the physical realm, it was the Spirit, close, Spirit to Spirit, right? The water and the blood. So in the natural realm, you access the tabernacle through the blood, then to the water, which is known as the washing of the Word, and then the Spirit, which is the most holy place. So there's a divine order of this. Psalm 91. So we call that divine order a divine entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Divine entrance. Everyone say divine entrance. Do you remember the parable about the one where the Lord said he was having a wedding and everybody was in the wedding? They all had garments on, and somebody came into the wedding, wrong garments. Didn't have any on. He said, "How did you get in here?" And he threw him out. Where did he throw him? Outer darkness. Why? Because he tried to come in another way. It was not a divine entrance. He got in another way. Didn't last long, though. Hallelujah. Psalm 91. Is everybody there? Praise God. Let's speak it, starting at verse 1. He who what? Dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the wings of the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will what? I will trust. Now look at, here's a divine order. You abide. You're abiding in this place. You're going to have divine protection. It says, verse 3, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowl, from the prevalence of pestilence. He's going to cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. So if you wake up with feathers, don't worry about it. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. It says, because you have, go to verse 9. He says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil will befall you. I told you. If you're in divine order, the devil cannot touch you. It's impossible. So what does he try to do? Lure you out. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample down, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him, and I'll set him on high, because he has known my name. See, in this dwelling place, there is an exchange. You're exchanging your life for his life. See, he's taking you, and you're taking him. Now you're using his name, and he's calling your name. Or there's a tremendous thing that happens in that divine order. Remember, it's an order that comes from the divine throne room of God Almighty. Galatians 6. And that order in that secret place is called protection. Galatians 6:6 says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be what? Deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he shall also reap. That's a divine law. But it's set forth in the divine order. Sow, reap. Sow, reap. It doesn't say reap, sow. It says sow, reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So by maintaining this divine order of sowing and reaping, you're going to have a harvest. As long as you don't lose heart. And who's going to try to discourage you when things don't seem to be going so well? Listen, the enemy is not going to sit there and let you prosper. He does not want you to grow and mature. He's going to do everything he can to cause you to grow weary, to be discouraged, to be offended, to put your eyes on you and get you out of divine order. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, look at Adam and Eve. Eve got out of divine order. She was told not to go near that serpent. In fact, God had spoken to her more than once, because the one time you read that it says, you cannot eat of the tree. And then when she spoke to the serpent, she said, you cannot touch the tree either. And she didn't know what lying was, so she wasn't about to lie. She got out of divine order because she got out of divine position. She should have not gotten there. One thing she did was open up and start speaking to the serpent. Immediately, she lost. Amen? Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to the counsel and what? Receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. The Lord's counsel will stand. The reason why that there's a counsel of the Lord or the Lord's counsel is to set things in order. So everybody got it? To set things in order. That's the purpose of the Lord's counsel. In the Lord's counsel, again, we have God, and God. Of course, then you have God and family, and then work. Amen? Now, I want you to know God's associated with ministry. It's God, everything associated with God, family, then work. You know how many times people, they move to the place where the job is at instead of where the fellowship is at. Does everybody listen? They move to the place where the job is at instead of where their fellowship is at. That's out of order. Because we're to be moving to the place where the fellowship is, and God provides the place of the job there. Has everybody got it? I see many people get out of position because of that. They get promoted and out of position. How many of y'all know the devil loves to promote you out of position? That's what he does. He'll promote you right out of position. How many of y'all know? Let me share something with you. You know, the devil can remove his demon from you and you can become healed. Look at all the witchcraft that goes on. Why do you think many of the witchcraft thing goes on? So people go to these witch doctors and somebody gets healed. Well, they think they did. The demon just left them. Now all of these people are hearing about this person that got healed, supposedly. But only the Lord is the healer. It's just the demon that left the person. And they start going to the witch doctor and he sucks them all in. You know what happens? That one eventually gets sick and dies. And so do the rest of them. Of course, you're not going to hear about it. The person's dead. But that's how the devil operates. It's not who the devil sets free is free. It's who the devil sets free goes back into bondage. It's who the Son sets free is free. Because that is divine order. The devil has no divine order. Oh, glory. Go to Job 10. He's got some order, but it isn't divine order. He's got demonic order. His order is me, myself, and I. Job 10. Hallelujah. I think it's verse 20. Verse 20. Job 10, 20. Are not my days few? Cease, leave me alone, that I may take a little comfort before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of what? Darkness and the shadow of death. The land as dark as darkness itself, as the shadow of death without what? Order. Where even the light is like darkness. In other words, there is no order in darkness. So when you are out of order, you can be sure that you are in darkness. Psalm 37, in verse 22, or 21. It says, the wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and what? Gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the what? By the Lord. And his delight is in his way. This is powerful. It says the steps of a good man. Why is he a good man? Because he's in what? Divine order. So the Lord is ordering his steps, isn't he? And here it says, and I'm going to tell you, you got to look at this. It says that the Lord is delighting in the man's ways. The Lord is delighting in the man's ways. Why? Because he's in divine order. The Lord is ordering his steps. And the Lord is delighting in the man's ways. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord because he is a man in order. Ephesians 5:22. What does it say? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the house, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the word, or the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or such things, that, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I am speaking concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So in this, there's a divine order in marriage, isn't there? And it doesn't mean slavery. Hello? So many people take this word out of context, let me tell you. Submit to your wife. Submit to your husband. Man, the Bible says submit to one another. Everybody submit to one another. There's only one right, remember that. Every one of us here is wrong. There's only one right, regardless of what. So just respect one another. That's the most important thing that can be done in a marriage, is that you respect one another. Because if you can't respect one another, you'll fall out of divine order. Amen? No matter what it is. Same thing with the children. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. Why? Because it's going to be long life to you. Because either your parents are going to kill you, or the enemy will. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Divine order. And you know, I want you to understand something, that in divine order, you know whether you're in it or not. It's like plumbing. Things flow. You know, if the pipe goes this way and this way and up and down, it's shaking. It's unstable. When an individual is out of divine order, they usually are unstable. A person that relies on how they feel all the time cannot maintain a divine order, because they are too easily pushed out of position, because they rely on feeling instead of truth. And 1 Corinthians 14 and verse something, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33, let's read it. For God is not the what? Author of what? Confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, that is very powerful, because when you are out of divine order, you are out of peace. And when you are in confusion, you're out of divine order. And the enemy is the author of confusion. Amen? God is not. So it's important to get back in position. Because when you're out of divine order, you're out of position. These are signs that you and I should know in that area of what's going on. Amen? Go to Colossians 2. Now, if somebody gets sick or something like that, you can't say, oh, you're out of divine order. Listen, we still live on the earth. Stuff still happens. And the only way you and I learn is going through our sufferings, our trials. The Bible says, count it all joy when you go through it, right? And that's to cause us to grow. Your trials and tribulations and sufferings is to establish you, settle you, and perfect you. Amen? So sometimes you may think you're out of position, but you'll have a peace even though you're going through something, so you'll know that you are. You'll know you're in divine order. You know that, okay, cool. Got it. Just an attack. Just another attack. That's all it is. Okay? And it's a test from the Eternal Broadcasting System. And so in this test, I'm going to pass it. I'm not going to fail. So I'm going to stay in divine. I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. How do you know? Look, one of the ways to stay in divine order is staying consistent in discipline. You know, you'll find yourself, when the enemy starts causing you to compromise and complain and grumble and get complacent, believe me, you're swaying out of position. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of all the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of the Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your what? Good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. When you are in divine order, there is faith always happening. There's an area of faith always happening when you're in divine order. It's always happening. In fact, you get to a place where, man, you just want to steamroll, man. You just want to steamroll and begin to expand things out. You're ready to take on the world and expand the kingdom everywhere. Praise God. So he talked about good order and steadfastness in your faith. Again, when you are in divine order, your faith is being expressed. I'd like to go to Exodus 40 and verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And you shall put in it the ark of the testimony, and a partition off the ark with the veil. He's beginning to set things in order of the tabernacle. You shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it. You shall bring in the lampstand and the light and light its lamps. You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of testimony, and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. Then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. You shall set the laver between the tabernacle and the meeting and the altar, and put water in it. You shall set the court all around and hang up the screen at the court gate. That's the outer court. So we went from the inner court to the outer court as they were setting up. They did not set from the outer court in. They set from the inner court out. In verse 8, you shall set up the court all around and hang up the screen at the court gate. And you shall take the anointing oil, oh yes, and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it. And you shall hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy. So after it's set, then anoint. And I want you to know that when you're in divine order, the anointing is flowing. It's always getting ready to flow. Did they not get everything in order first and then anoint? Right? And they worked from the inside out, didn't they? Why? Because if you don't have victory on the inside, you're not going to have victory on the outside. So in this, if you're in divine order, the anointing is always ready to be released. Praise God. In verse 11, and you shall anoint the laver in its base and consecrate it. And you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. And you shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may minister to me as priests. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Praise God. How many of y'all are priests? Amen. You got your anointing oil? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Very important. Where there is divine order, there is divine nature. Where there is divine nature, there is divine power. Again, in divine order, the anointing is always being ready to release. So everybody got it. So in, again, where there's divine order, there's the divine nature. What is the character of Christ? If you're not in divine order, divine nature, the character of Christ is not being expressed. It's being suppressed. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to suppress the divine nature in Christ. But when you are in divine order, the divine nature of Christ is expressed through you, and the rivers of living water are flowing. The anointing is flowing. Amen. I go to Genesis 26. Divine order. How about cleaning up the house? Your house. Amen. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel used for God. Divine order. And how about removing the cursed items from the home? Amen. Divine order. Have no fellowship with darkness, right? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. All of these things are to keep us in divine order, so that the divine nature can be expressed and the anointing can be manifested. Genesis 26. Let's start at verse 1. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Amalek, king of Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I have sworn to Abraham, your father." Now, what was he saying? Go here. I want you to dwell here, and I'll bless you. What was he doing? Putting him in divine order. But he was actually putting him in divine position. So maintaining divine position, you must be in divine order. Amen? And I will make you descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. What did he do? He kept divine order, and him and his descendants were blessed. Glory. And I'm going to close at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Let's start at verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." Wow, sounds like a good place. "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." You have what? Left your first love. See, so many times we can get so busy that we lose our first love. He's to always remember, even in the commandments, "The Lord is your God, you shall have no other." When he becomes your second love, you fall out of position. You fall out of order. He is your first love and must maintain your first love all the way home. that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. See, when you lose your first love, you lose the first works. Because many people begin to alter what God has told them. So everybody got it? They begin to alter, change. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So you must be consistent and disciplined. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Sounds like good eating to me. Divine order. It's an essential part of a believer. Essential. The Lord must maintain your first love and always be first. Amen. Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you. I apply the blood of Jesus on the seed that's been imparted. I ask that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory. In any area, Lord, where we are out of position and out of divine order, we ask that you quicken us, chasten us, rebuke us, heal us, and put us back in place. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.